Hello once again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. As I've explained, that means that we like to consider ourselves very proficiently well-rounded in our industry. I think that's fair to say. We've been around a while. We've been in this market a long time. We've been in this world a long time. My background is I'd say, relatively money rich, per se. That sounds funny because it's... Doesn't mean I'm rich. God's been good to me. But money satiated, in other words, financially astute. We have been in, I personally, God kind of led me into the money thing coming out of college. If you knew me growing up, I think, you know, there's people I know that are a little surprised at where I've ended up in life. But some of them. Say that they always thought I had a half-decent mind. And I was always very analytical. Apparently, I used to challenge teachers quite a bit and things like this. But, you know, God's been gracious enough to lead me into our monetary world where I believe that I'm capable of helping a lot of people. Being on the radio is an interesting concept. A lot of people have podcasts. I believe I am now uploading my radio shows to my website again as I wait tirelessly for Zipline here in Spokane to finish my website. And it has gone on and 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 on. And it's been quite a process. And I don't know exactly how all that works. I have a feeling it's been a long kind of a process. And we really should have a much better website. Our website, I think, is cool. It's vintage. My understanding is that one of the things that good old Google looks at is the age of a website, the actual name. I think websites like coinsplus.com are scarce and hard to get anymore. And the website name has existed since the 90s, and supposedly that's a good thing. But if we can just get things back to where they're supposed to be, I think we could get a ball rolling. But anyway, that's that. It's been, you know, I've talked in the past about getting some staff on board. We've had some luck with that, I would say. We've got some decent help, decent people, I think. And decent people can become really good if their heart's all in it. And this business is just so unique. It's we treat our people very well. We pay them well. We believe in what we believe in. We want to do things the right way all the time. And our real specialty is investment guidance. Okay. Like I said, my background, I have been exposed to it all. I started out of college. I mean, I did a little bit of, what shall we call it, academic ping pong when I was going through school. I started out in physical therapy and pursued that for a while and had, you know, probably a providential event. Had a teacher sit and say, you know, I was very, very into athletics and I wanted to be into sports medicine. And she stood up there and said, you know, X percent of you want to be in sports medicine and only X percent of you will. and it was quite a spread. She was like, you know, 87% of you want to be in sports medicine, and only about 3% of you will, and the rest of you are going to be working with geriatrics and all that stuff. Well, when you're in your young 20s, that doesn't sound terribly appealing. And so, I don't know, she just kind of knocked me off that bus. And then I thought, well, maybe business, you know, and I tried that for a tad. And I'm like, I felt like I was cheating. And I'm telling you, folks, I was not a good student. I mean, when I came out of high school, my GPA was not impressive. I don't think I ever tried. A few times I tried, I had, you know, papers on books and stuff, and I had probably some bad experiences with teachers. I got bounced around in life. I didn't have a familial anchor, if you will, that it just, you know, everyone's raised a certain way and they see things a certain way. And there was, you know, there's a spectrum from harshness to love and fault finding to forgiveness and grace and things like that. And it applies everywhere in life. And I was, you know, I had some experiences, we'll say that, with teachers that were probably not the most motivating. I had the, you know, it's weird. I had the benefit of sort of being tossed out in a way and bouncing through a whole bunch of homes and public institutions, you know, under circumstances where, you know, certain families would, you know, be able to cope with things without any problem. But it's what I call trauma drama. And praise the Lord, I got some really tough experiences. I learned how to be tougher than nails. I learned how to endure varieties of abuse and whatever. I just thank God for all of it. It makes for a good story. And it makes for a sharpening of the knife in the eyes of the Lord. You know, it was God. As I've said, I accepted Christ in third grade, forgot, went down a very obscure road of sort of abandonment, really having no one behind me, and then just happened to tighten up my belt and straighten my backbone up and do things the hard way, and I don't mean to be the uphill to school both ways. We were back in my hometown this weekend, and I was showing my wife where I used to have to walk from my junior high to my house on the railroad tracks, and it was a substantial distance. And I remember in when I was young, like junior high, getting literal hypothermia in my hands so bad because I didn't have apparently the proper gloves. I don't even know what that was all about. But when they thawed out, it was one of the most excruciatingly painful things I ever experienced. But, you know, you just don't know any better. It's weird. Kids grow up in so many environments and they accept things as the baseline. I think we were talking about that this weekend with family is we accept things the way we're shown. That applies, in my perspective, to human beings being placed on this earth by God. Thank you, God. I believe that I see the magnificence of His creation and the blessedness of our existence. And we always have a reason to be grateful as long as we're above ground. When we make bad decisions, you know, they come with consequences. And when people that are in charge of us make bad decisions, you know, we as children, we also suffer consequences. And I think that's the important thing is to understand is we are responsible for our children's outcome. You know, within reason, we're all faced with a variety of genetic hurdles and obligations and whatever challenges or whatever. But we have such an indication. And one thing that's interesting is when we're given a child or two or whatever, 10 if you're Mormon, or whatever. We, you know, in a lot of cases, we'll be given a genetic, you know, God chooses. We have genetic lotteries, you know, when the sperm meets the egg, right? You know, there's times you look at people and go, really? That was the strongest, anyway. But when those two come together, there's literally billions of options, I think. At least hundreds of millions. And there is a lottery. God chooses our spirit. That's what makes us an individual. That's why twins can have completely antithetical personalities. Their biological genetics dictate preferences and all kinds of things. That's where, you know, years back they had the twin study, which I thought was really cool until I saw a movie on it and realized that an ex-Nazi, imagine that, who worked in an orphanage was literally intentionally separating twins and triplets, not only to different families, but to different types of families. And there's a movie out, it's an older one, but you know, that where it's there's three boys, and they were put, one of them was put in a poor, abusive home, middle class and high class home, intentionally. They knew one of the homes was highly abusive. And then they did monthly checkups on everything. They watched the children. They observed them from a distance to see how the kids came out. Well, guess what? The child that, and this is one case of many that were, that you know, that were that corroborated the results. The child put in the harsh, poor, abusive family, guess what? Became a criminal. Hardened criminal. Abusive environments. It's not just physically abusive either. These studies showed a lack of love, real love, biblical love, destroys children. Kids need love. But love can be hard. And there's people that take, you know, in the, I think it was in the 80s or 70s, Dr. Dobson wrote a book, Love Must Be Tough. And then like Alcoholics Anonymous and all that were like, you got to have tough love, you know, and you got to hammer people over the head and smack them with a board and, you know, and tell them and make them pay. And it's just, it's wrong. It's absolutely antithetical to the Bible. But this happened to a lot of kids. It just was a thing going on. And certain, and usually the case was that, you know, Dobson changed that later. I mean, obviously, you probably have saw his evolution in that, where he retracted it and basically said, you know, he didn't fully retract it. He just said that people that weren't intelligent enough or inquisitive enough to dig into it would, you know, take, read a little bit or just know a little bit. And react harshly, and you can have a fault-finding spirit or attitude towards those around you in your life. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love keeps secrets. You understand that? The Bible tells us all about this in Proverbs. Love does not expose someone's weaknesses. It doesn't It doesn't make people look bad, especially to make ourselves look good. Love, that is not what God's love is. If so, show me where Christ did that. You know, he was not, that was not his MO. He just pure loved people. He didn't think, well, you know, I got to make sure that person knows they're a bad person or something like that. He edified and build them up, and he showed them, you know, people, a lot of times people that are struggling with various things, and we all know people in our lives like that. Sometimes it's us or whatever, but we just need a hangar to park our emotional plane. We need a refuge, a place that's safe. Homes are supposed to be a refuge, and with the holidays, this is what we need. I watch, you know, unfortunately, probably a little too much news sometimes, and they're all like, you know, the holidays, there's going to be these fights over the Thanksgiving table over COVID and masks and vaccinations, and why? Why? What the heck good does it do? Do you think you're going to make much of a difference? I was talking to an individual this weekend who is closely related to me about another individual in our family. The first thing you do not want to do is distinguish Republican versus Democrat. This is a man-made organization, both broken as broken gets. I believe the Constitution is a divinely inspired document or instrument. I believe I can defend that resoundingly, as is the DOI, Declaration of Independence. If you're talking to people, talk Constitution. Do not go Republican or Democrat. The other thing that you got to be super careful about is everything being proselytization. It wears people out and down. If you trust the Holy Spirit will give you the words. Number one, maybe that's number two. Number one is, especially if you're with believers over the holidays, do you trust God? Do you trust the Holy Spirit? Pray to God. Pray to the Holy Spirit. You can speak what God puts on your heart and mind, but what should our speech be? It should be edifying, comforting, kind, loving. When you're in common company, you can talk about your concerns of the world. Living under a rock is not what I'm saying. We are facing, I think, some of the most challenging and difficult times in the world. We have a nation that was built on a level of perfection in the eyes of God that's phenomenal. Were the men perfect? No. People want to debate about their faith. Go read, study David Barton's work. He's probably the most respected and renowned constitutional scholar on earth. And he's a specialist in our forefathers. He has the largest collection of original documents. If you remember Glenn Beck back in the late 2008, 9, 10-ish, he was always saying, go to the original source, go to the original source. Folks, it's becoming extremely difficult to do that now. Well, David Barton has the original documents, and a lot of them. He is very knowledgeable, and he'll tell you, based on extensive documentation, our founders weren't tweeting. They weren't using Instagram and Snapchat and whatever else there is. See how smart I am? I knew those. And Facebook. Our founders wrote, and they wrote really good, rich, amazing stuff. Biggest mistake you can make is reading secondary information. That applies to your study of the Bible as well. Don't read, I should say, don't just read books that tell you what the Bible says. It's fun sometimes to get testimonials and analogous stories of people's, you know, experiences and perspectives. And I love people's input big time, because as I was talking to someone recently, is life's a hologram. I mean, it's real, but there, when you hear other people's perspectives, it's fun because they see the same object or the same reality from different angles, and they're looking at it from a completely different perspective. I mean, and it's the same thing, and it's just as a court reporter or, a good defense attorney would tell you. You get the four people that stand on four corners of a street when an accident occurs, and you have four different stories. You've got four perspectives, four paradigms, four grids of perception. Things you've experienced in life affect everything. Certain people's professions, knowledge, makes such a difference. if people are in science, extreme science or math, they probably have a higher likelihood of trying to avoid assumption and wanting to discuss exactly what they see. People who are in literature or liberal arts, they don't mind filling in the blanks. They don't mind assumption. Assumption's fine with them. The problem when you get into legal issues of justice, there's no room for assumption. Liberty should be blind, okay? Truth should be truth. Justice should be justice. That's why you need all these witnesses a lot of times to break down reality in a court case, because so many people have different perspectives, and what they do is they pollute reality with their own perspective. You go back to Kyle Rittenhouse. Even though we had extensive video, what happened? Well, you get, the prosecuting attorney who has FBI drone footage, apparently 4K. That's real clear, high res. Well, prosecuting attorney not only did not turn that over to the defense, but when they did, oh, by the way, the day that they presented it into evidence or admitted it, they dropped it down to 300 DPI. You know what that is? That's like going back to 1990. Grainy, black and gray garbage. Holy moly, corrupt lies. They tried it all. They lost. Why'd they lose? Praise the Lord, truth prevailed. People raised a little bit of Cain. Then we had the lynching, whatever it was, the son and father and other guy that chased this poor black man down in a neighborhood for miles and pulled a gun on him. And he finally, you know, that guy was in fear for his life. He went after the gun. So what do they do? Boom, blow a hole in him. Nice work, guys. Well, I'm sorry. I hate to see anyone's life wasted. That, my friends, was racist behavior. And that's where these people go, would they have done that to a white guy? I don't think in that case they would have. It's bad. Okay, we need to have objectivity in our justice perspective. We got to understand. We've also got to trust the court systems. We've got to trust reality. And we've got to want the truth. When we skew justice, you know, you go back, it's really interesting when you read the Bible about Joseph. I mean, think about this. Joseph did all this time in prison, what, 13 years? 13 years by being falsely accused of raping Potiphar's wife? I mean, how do you think God's view of that went? I'm thinking probably not so good. I'm thinking that Potiphar's wife, you know, can't say, but probably not hanging out in heaven, you know? False accusations, that's why we have the Ten Commandments. I'll tell you what, if there's anything going on right now, more than I've ever recalled, it is that people are absolutely loaded with disrespect for the commandment that says, do not bear false witness. That means lying about someone to get them in trouble. That means saying you saw something you didn't. That means saying someone did something they didn't. Bearing false witness against your neighbor. It's the eighth commandment. God is the author of truth, right? We need to honor truth, seek truth, no matter the cost. People take that as a commandment not to lie. 99.9% of the time that is correct. But that scripture talks about bearing false witness. What, you know, do you realize, you may, I'm sure, that there are examples in the Bible of lies that people told that were pleasing to God? Now, this is where people say, well, this is where the Bible contradicts itself. You have the Hebrew midwives who lie after Pharaoh commands them to kill the newborn babies. You've got Rahab, the innkeeper who lies to soldiers while hiding the spies. I'm not sure, but Lot may have done the same. In all cases, it wasn't utilitarian, okay, but it was for a better good. And you gotta think about utilitarianism is where they say, oh, if it's better for the large group, you know, it's okay to do. So, in other words, Nazi Germany, you know, if we need to eradicate these filthy Jews to save the whole, you know, deception, deception, deception. Not good. That doesn't make it okay. I hate the fact that people have such a hard time with God being God. I mean, I just, you know, if it's like I was talking with a friend this weekend, a family relative. If God made us perfect, okay, why did we sin? Why did we fall? Think about that for a minute. Well, he didn't make us perfect. Wait a minute. What? How can God make something imperfect? Well, maybe because he's a bit bigger than us. Maybe it isn't our... See, that's why the word righteousness in the Old Testament is not about perfection. The greatest deception that exists in the Bible, I'm sorry, in Christians, is this concept that you gotta be perfect. You know what happens when you think you gotta be perfect? You're hammering the next guy. You get filled with legalism. It's human nature. They're worse than I am. Look at all the problems with them. Because you know you're not perfect. Well, why look at yourself? Well, do you want to be perfect? Yeah. Okay. Do you want to love God? Yeah. That is a righteous heart and mind. It means right-minded towards God, desiring his true will. David was called, and I've mentioned this over and over, David was called a man after God's own heart. But man, he blew it a few times. He was pretty human, but he liked God. He loved God, right? So, what did he do? He killed a man, he committed adultery. It took him a year to admit maybe he made a mistake, and that was only when one of his right-hand man came and did a sort of a parable to bait him about a guy who, you know, had stolen their sheep and whatnot. But overall, David repented. People say, God loved him because he repented. And more so, I think, because he wanted God's unadulterated truth. I really believe that was the case. I think that that was his desire. He had, you know, there's a lot of interesting things. He was a small guy, one of eight. I think from the root of Jesse. And Samuel the prophet came looking, and he knew that Jesse had the kid. And Jesse showed him his seven sons. And Samuel's like, no, these ain't the ones. Well, I got this little guy out in the field tending the sheep. And he's like, well, bring him in here. And guess what? He was the one. So he got blessed at that point. But then the road began. He went through a lot. He could have killed Saul. He didn't. He respected him. If you really look at the story, it's pathetic. I mean, David played the harp for Saul. He was the only one that could give him peace. He was demanded and commanded to play the harp for Saul. And then later on, when David approached Saul about Goliath, Saul didn't even know who he was. Then he kills Goliath, you know, and he did it with a slingshot. We think of slingshots as these Y-shaped rubber band things. The way they did they weren't slingshots, they were slings. They were basically what they did at the time was, let's see here. Okay. They had I can't remember. So basically they had I don't even know if they had a stick. But I think they did. I think it's where we got slingshots. They would have a great big leather pocket with a long leather rope. And they would swing it, and zip it. Wham! And out it would come. And there's people, I've read Foolish Stupidity, where they say, well, they could be accurate up to 100 feet. You know how pathetically minuscule 100 feet is? And then when you read people that are doing it now in various nations in Africa and stuff, I mean, these guys can chuck stuff with pinpoint accuracy. They can hit a bullseye at 100 yards. That's a long ways. I mean, I used to run the 100-yard dash. You want to book it as hard as you can. You're like, that's a ways. You know, it's a quarter of a quarter mile. But he could chuck that thing. And when he threw it at Goliath, I mean, he had God on his side. That guy's like, you think? He's been out in the field. I mean, what's he been doing? He's watching sheep. He's probably got a sling and he just sits there and plays and plays and plays. It's like when I was a little kid, I'd just go out and shoot hoops. Or later on, get a skateboard. All I did is ride a skateboard. I'm jumping on everything, you know, falling down 1,000 times. And pretty soon you're doing things, you're like, whoa, you know. And he was whipping that sling around. And man, when he went after, I mean, you think about it, the Bible tells us he took a smooth, round stone, probably the size of a golf ball, maybe a tad bigger, you know. So it carried some pump with it, and it went straight into Goliath's forehead. Wham! And Goliath stood there like, well, that hurt. And down he went. Then what'd David do? Well, just for measure, just for effect, he cut his head off. Took his head back to town. Wait a minute, Kevin. That is not the way I see things biblically. In the Bible, everything's flowers and pretty fragrances and no. Death is real. You're surrounded by death all the time. You might as well live with it and accept it. Where things get out of control. One thing, now I'm diverting here. One thing that stands out to me as absolutely respectful is the United States military, the most powerful killing machine in the history of the world. I know some of the, literally, and I'm not talking smoke, but I mean, I do know some of the most well-trained and extremely experienced veterans active in the United States military who've killed thousands. Two to the chest, one to the head. That's mercy. You get into these satanic religions, these satanic nations, Afghans. What are they doing in Afghanistan, by the way? Do you know the blood that lays on the hands of Joseph R. Biden? He's a sick, sick man. I have said in the past that I try not to trash talk the president and da-da-da-da-da. He's disrespecting us as a nation in every possible way. Joseph R. Biden is so active in corruption with the Chinese government, it goes back in a way you can't believe. Did you know that right now, the United Nations, I learned of this today, documented, the United Nations is providing debit cards to illegals every $800 every 2 weeks. But more importantly, they're coaching illegal immigrants how to come into our country and lie to get in. This is the United Nations. You know what's going on in this country? Why do you think all of this COVID garbage is going on? They want to turn our law enforcement over to the United Nations, the blue hats, as someone was telling me. They want to turn the United States of America over to this. What is wrong with these people? Satanic deception is what is wrong with them. They're fools. They're coaching these people how to get in our country. Do you ever get the feeling that Biden's turning a blind eye? Do you know he just supposedly reinstating the Remain in Mexico policy. Listen to Kayleigh McEnany, who was the public relations expert for Trump, said he worked so hard to get the Mexican president to agree to that. It was an absolute diplomatic miracle when he accepted it. So what'd we do? Well, you just chuck it right out. Because by golly, Biden has to be everything against Trump. I'll tell you my philosophy. I believe that Biden is operating literally on an IQ of under 100. I think he's literally that dumb. I don't think the guy could solve a logic puzzle if he had to. I don't think the guy could play a game of chess. I don't think he could solve a Rubik's Cube. And on down the list we go. I don't even think he could play a good game of Scrabble. And then you look at Donald J. Trump. When they were accusing him, they accused him of every filthy thing under the sun. They accused him of being mentally incompetent at its worst. He not only did he go take a full psychological profile, he took the Stanford Bitten. Okay? A true IQ test is timed. You're under pressure. I've taken a couple. Trump came out at 171 on the IQ scale. That's above Jeff Bezos. That's above Bill Gates. It's above Elon Musk. Brilliant, okay? So he's a bit of a machine. The man probably has a tad bit of Asperger's, which is a mild form of autism, but he's a robot. He knows how to make things happen. He's probably one of the most brilliant business people in the history of the world. I believe that because I believe he was chosen by God. Biden is the antithesis of Trump. He's the opposite. And everything he did wasn't pro-Biden, it was anti-Trump. So he went in and he chewed this country up, ripped it apart, and he continues to do so. You get Nancy Pelosi. You have, and I'm sorry to be on politics, but you have one after the next corrupt act. These people accuse Trump of things they knew were lies. Nancy Pelosi and her husband have been involved in so many corrupt insider trading activities. Biden himself, his Hunter, I mean, Hunter should be in jail. The guys, I'm not even going to go down that road right now. I'm just telling you, it's everything is anti-Trump at its peak, at its max. It's because he's not smart enough to make up his own policies. He just goes against whatever Trump does. Well, gee, guess what? Now he is at the worst any president's ever been. He's lower than the lowest, lowest approved governor in the United States. The top 10 most approved governors in the United States, I'm sorry, 9 out of the top 10 are Republicans. Republicans make good governors. Why? Freedom. Biden is into stealing, killing, and destroying. Giving up, I mean, folks, up to $450,000 to every individual who suffered a separation from their children. I'm talking illegal immigrants. You got a mom and a dad, that's 900 G's. We lost little Manuel when we came through the border because they separated us for 6 days. Why? Because they wanted to verify, because Trump wanted to verify that they were really their children. Do you know the Trump cages and all this? They were created by Obama. They're being used by Biden. But when Trump was there, folks, I don't know how smart you are. I hope you're smart. You're being deceived at a level that you cannot even begin to fathom. You can't even comprehend how bad the deception is. Those of the liberal left-wing propaganda media need to be shut down. They're no longer the free press. I mean, we are being deceived at a rate that, you know, it's interesting. We're taking more propaganda per week. Think about this. They say we're being fed more propaganda per week than the entire Nazi regime put out in its entire reign. Think about that. According to Reuters, more propaganda being fed to you, the American people, in 1 week than Joseph Goebbels produced in the entire reign of Nazi Germany. Why are we able to resist? Because we have the Constitution. We have the desire and hunger for freedom. We have truth seekers. We have all these people on Telegram. I see all this stuff from Canada, New Zealand, Australia, all these countries. They don't even have constitutions. Most of the constitutions in the world started as they used as an outline ours, but you know what they did? They took out our individual freedoms. They took out the Bill of Rights. And the Constitution gave all the power to their governments to run them over. This is where we're at. Now, I think I could go down this road further. But I think as what I need to do right now is explain a few things, okay? First of all, economically, we are on, we're on a runaway train towards full throttle economic disaster. You've heard, you know, there's no doubt. I mean, it is absolutely irrefutable. What's interesting when I read Revelations 18 about Mystery Babylon, Mystery Babylon, it talks over and over, the smoke of her burning and everyone standing far off, and every single time, why were they stressed? Because they would no longer receive the wealth of her excessive luxuries, of her stranos, Greek, for forced money, fake money, fiat currency. Now, I'm not going to disagree. Something went right, wrong, wrong, right, wrong. I mean, we've got fiat currency that is sucking the life out of the American people. We've been shipping it overseas. How do we do it? I don't know. Make it fake. Make more, make more, make more, make more. The world's becoming rich by our excessive luxuries. If you go back before the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, and then, okay, then you go Reserve Act of 13 and all the garbage that came along, and then you got the roaring 20s, you know? I mean, that's, a decade later at best. Things were smoking along hardcore. Money, 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 money. And then we get a currency retraction. Federal Reserve collapses everything, takes it away. What do they do with it? Ship it all overseas. Do you know, in my business, back especially in the 90s, people with money, I was a little young then, you could go overseas. Zurich was a beautiful place to go. The gold capital of the world at the time. You could go buy bags. Bags. Okay? A bag is 1,000 coins of $20 gold pieces. $2,000 face value in $20 gold pieces. That's 1,000 ounces of gold in the form of antique $20 gold pieces. The most desirable 1 ounce gold pieces in the world. United States of America. We had paid off all this debt. We took all, we pushed all the money out, retracted it back, confiscated the wealth, confiscated the assets, repossessed everything from the American people, and we shipped it all overseas. Why? I don't know. FDR was a radical socialist. He wanted to keep people poor and sick. Why? Because of his infrastructure program. He made the American working man his slave force. That's where we get a lot of our really cool infrastructure. And that's what all these foolish leaders keep trying to do. Trump had that idea in a way, but he wasn't going to abuse the working man. He understood. Biden thinks it's the greatest thing ever. You get Obama, he's like, FDR was the best ever, No, he was the worst. He destroyed us. He, in his first term, his first 5.5 years, he increased the size of our government over 1,000-fold, and it kept growing. He fleeced the wealth from America. So what happened? Debt. Okay, we got a lot of stuff, but we're all in debt. Is it better to have less and no debt or more with debt? Now you get the whole Dave Ramsey, you got to get out of debt. Do you? When interest rates on mortgages have gotten as low as 1.99 and they're telling us foolishly and deceptively inflation's at 7.83 and you know you're being lied to because Clinton removed food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs, folks. No. I'm sorry to break the news to you. Unfortunately, the cost of homes has probably risen commensurately with inflation. But I'm not saying, being debt-free to avoid a 2% interest rate when true inflation's a lot higher than that, I don't, as a money guy, I wouldn't encourage that. I'd say, I'm going to throw you for a loopster here. I would say, consider taking your money out of your equity at way too low of a rate, buying precious metals. You get a 2.8% or whatever it is interest rate. I mean, that's like two good days in the metals. It's nothing. The precious metals are God's money. They're not an investment. They're money. Always have been, always will be. God says it. All the way to the bell rings, you're going to be chucking in the streets on the days of wrath. But you know what? You're going to be chucking it on earth. And the quantities that you have here are a joke compared to what's in heaven. Where did God get it? I don't know. A lot of it made it. I don't think he snapped his fingers. I think he had it mined from other locations, and there's a whole bunch of substantiating evidence for that. I won't get into it, but don't be afraid. I mean, go get metals. This stuff's going to go crazy. Folks, where we're at financially is out of this world, okay? Money or metals are not an investment. They're money. They're true wealth. They've never become worthless. Everyone knows they're going to pop hard soon, right? The world banks and our government have suppressed precious metals prices since the mid-late 1800s, okay? If you calculate inflation adjustment from historical pre-suppression gold and silver, which goes way back, hundreds and hundreds and, a millennium, gold would need to exceed right now $25,000 to $30,000 an ounce, not counting if we went back on 100% gold standard like we were. At that point, gold would be at a level you wouldn't even believe it. It'd be like $400,000 an ounce. Silver would have to exceed $2,500 an ounce to return to the comparable buying levels that have been maintained over the previous 1,000 years. The U.S. dollar, folks, has literally lost 99.8% of its spending power from 1913 till 2021. $100 in 1913 is like $60,000 now. The average home sales price has increased. I have old numbers here. I don't have the exact numbers. About 400-fold, or 40, what would that be? 40,000%. From a high of 1168 in 1913 to over $400,000 in 2021. Since we abandoned the gold standard in 1971, gold and silver, I lost my place here, have risen in value over well over 4,000%, up to 6,000%. The short-term precious metal spike in 1980, people are always like, oh, what about 1980? Okay, that was an anomaly. I'll just leave it at that. Quick market manipulation and SEC cram down on the Hunt brothers, and past that we'll move. That's history. I've got a strong background in mathematics. It's an anomaly. You cast that kind of data out. Let's talk about our consumer price index. That is what is used by our government to calculate and report inflation figures, okay? It is now an exclusionary index, which no longer includes food, transportation, real estate, or energy costs. That makes sense to you? These excluded expenses are what the average American consumer spends 85% of their disposable income on. Could be much higher now, folks. This was written 10 years ago. A simple calculation of inflation rates derived from these excluded items reveals that since 9/11 of 2001, which is the key turning point, 9/11, that inflation has grown easily at a rate between 12 and 15%. Which is like 8 to 10 times what our government statistics are continuously peddling to us. Precious metals have never lost their value or become worthless. They are timelessly valuable. Precious metals-based assets have maintained their spending power for thousands of years. There's no exception. God even said it from Genesis chapter 2. The amount of above-ground gold and silver has remained relatively static throughout human history. What does that mean? Per capita, the amount of gold and silver available per human on Earth, okay? The more people they get, the harder it is to mine, blah, blah, blah. It's like 3/10 of an ounce of gold or 3 ounces of silver and, I don't know, 3/10 of an ounce of gold, something like that. So the U.S. dollar is, arguably, debatably, the U.S. dollar is rapidly losing favor globally. The United Nations, the IMF, International Monetary Fund, good old-fashioned OPEC, you know, Biden's good buddies, China, Russia, and even the European Union. They've keep demanding a new dollar-free one-world currency. Precious metals are universally recognized and accepted anywhere in the world. It's cash. It's money. Precious metals are private, anonymous, transportable, and immediately liquid, also anywhere and at any time globally. Getting the picture here? They're transportable real estate without a title. They offer the only form of truly personal private wealth. The Federal Reserve System is a fiat, which is a false or replacement currency system. It creates money from thin air. Our Federal Reserve notes are only created when debt is acquired. The Federal Reserve and all world central banks operate on a 9-to-1 fractional reserve currency system, which allows our Fed and other central banks to create 9 times the amount of debt, or 9 times the amount of debt as currency borrowed. And then I can go on from there, but I'm out of time. What's new? Folks, what do you got to lose? I've had people are crypto this and crypto. God's money. Give us a call. 444-0044, area code 509, Spokane. God bless you. Have a wonderful night. Bye-bye.